Welcome to the Colleyville Assembly of God podcast. Our heart is to be completing people in Christ. We pray that you are encouraged by this message. For more information, visit cvassembly.org.
You've already seen her on stage. She's in seventh grade. She's a part of the worship band in youth, and her name is Riley Glosson. And she is incredible. Yes, yes. Riley has such a big heart for this church and for serving the Lord and helping. She runs all of our media for our annual kid event called Jump, and she does a killer job. She actually went from the worship team straight to the sound booth, and she is going to be running my media this morning. She also, back in fifth grade, helped us launch our kids church media team, and because of her, we now have fourth and fifth graders every Sunday running our lighting software and our presenting software. Yes. So Riley, thank you for being here this morning. Thank you for your heart. You are incredible. Raise your hand if you like a good donut. Oh, yeah. Me too. I like a good donut. You got Krispy Kreme. You got Shipley's. You got Dunkin' Donuts. You got Busy Bees right down the street. If you look here and there and queer, you see all these donut shops everywhere, right? And you can like throw a rock and boom, there's a donut shop. Lots of times, if you pay close attention, there's a GameStop nearby. I don't know the correlation to that, but there is. And in fact, two lucky people this morning, if everyone looks underneath your chairs, there are Dunkin' Donut gift cards in the worship center this morning, and we just want to bless a couple people. So if you look underneath your chair, if you don't find it, maybe it's in the empty chair next to you. It's taped up there real good, so good luck. Teenagers, you don't have one. It's not in this section. Oh, there we go. Miss Lisi found one. All right. Awesome. Awesome. And it seems like the other one is still out there somewhere. All right. I know where I put it. So if you don't find it, I can get it later this morning. I love donuts just like everybody else. And in fact, Dallin's not on the front row either. No one sits on the front. All right. So these are one of my favorite treats. Actually, I have a really good friend who likes these as well, but he prefers the powdered kind. I don't get that. They're too messy. But I like these double chocolate. Chocolate in the inside, chocolate covering the outside. My last staff position was actually at a church right next to a neighborhood Walmart. And so lots of times my lunch, I would go to Walmart. These are $1.98. Amen. There's like 20 in here. You grab that with some sort of beverage, maybe another snack, and you're looking at lunch for $4, maybe $5. And you're saying, whoa, that is so unhealthy. What are you teaching us? Yes, unhealthy, but affordable and delicious. And when you're in college, these are your friend. Speaking of friends, I have a lot of friends in the youth group. So here you go, guys. Enjoy. Share those amongst yourselves. That's not fair. He's really tall. I should have given it more of an arch this morning. But when you look at a donut, when you're eating them, have you ever wondered, and I'm going to come down here with you guys, have you ever wondered why the donut has a hole in the center? Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever Googled it? Have you ever researched it? Well, I have. That's part of my job, to look things up on Google. And so what I did is I found some stories, some tall tales, you know, looking for this story, this illustration. There's one about a Native American who is trying to shoot a housewife, misses and pierces this cake, and bada bing, bada boom, you got a hole in the donut. There's a story of a sea captain who loves these little cakes, but he has nowhere to put them when he's steering the ship. So he just pokes holes in them and puts them on the spokes of the wheel as he steers through the ocean. Right? These are just like tall tales. I don't know where the real story is. But the one that has the most weight, that people believe the most, is about a guy named Hanson Gregory. He was a real-life sea captain back in the 1800s. And he would tell this story about when he was a young boy, his mom would make this dessert, this cake, and he loved it. But his mom never quite got cooking them all the way through. The middle was always doughy. The middle was always not cooked. And so one day he goes, "Mom, why don't you just poke a hole in the middle?" And the mom just like kind of laughs and then was like, oh, okay, we'll give it a try. And it was life-changing. It was world-changing because now we have the hole in the center of the donut. And this story has so much weight to it and so many people believe it. And Hanson Gregory told it so often that there is actually a plaque in his hometown of Rockport, Maine that credits him with inventing the hole in the donut in 1847. Now, 1847 to today, donuts are still loved by kids and adults alike. Raise your hand if you've had a donut today. Oh, I can't raise my hand. I haven't had one yet. But yeah, okay, look at this. Teenagers, you guys are on point this morning. All right, so all these guys have had donuts this morning. Raise your hand if, as we've been talking, you've thought, man, I really want a donut now. Me too. They're so good. They're affordable. They're delicious. And in spite of missing that little hole, they're actually pretty filling, you know? You're like, oh, I'm going to eat one donut. And then you eat two donuts. And then you eat three donuts and you want to throw up, right? Because they just start piling up inside of your stomach. But then you do it again and it's so good. But here's the thing. Have you ever noticed, hands shown, have you noticed how donuts dominate the breakfast scene on a Sunday morning? Like, maybe during the week you skip breakfast, you eat cereal, maybe you're a healthier person and you have other options, but then Sunday is like your donut day. Anybody like that? Like donuts, Sunday is your donut day? Right, yeah. Sunday morning, donuts are everywhere. It's so easy because they're affordable, right? To just go get them and bring them to your Sunday school class and or your Bible class and bless them, right? And or when you're going to work throughout the week, you could technically stop and get them for work, especially if you're running late, because now you're the donut person, not the late person, and you can quote me on that. But I think one reason that donuts are so popular on Sunday mornings, are so popular when you come to church, is because they remind us a lot about ourselves. You see, we all have a hole inside of us. We have this longing that's been created by God. He put this emptiness inside of us for a specific purpose. You can't see it with a CAT scan or an X-ray, but it's there. He put it in us so that we would find Jesus. Jesus is the only thing that can satisfy that longing for love that we have, that longing for a complete life. In fact, Jesus met a woman who tried in vain to fill this hole, this emptiness, this longing with other things and with human love. And then he shows up and shows her, hey, this is what you've been missing all along. Last Generation Sunday, I had the honor. Yeah, we're going to be in John chapter 4. But Last Generation Sunday, I had the honor of sharing two of my favorite Old Testament stories, or as I like to call them, historical accounts or records, because they really lived, right? Life's really changed. Jesus really met this woman, really changed her life. Now I get to share one of my favorite New Testament. I've always enjoyed this story and the multiple things you can pull out of this one passage. But in 2012, my family got the opportunity to go to the country of Moldova. And while there, I got to teach this story to a group full of kids, teenagers, volunteers, and adults. And ever since then, the story has had a very special place. We're going to be reading out of the ESV this morning. If you want to go to your Bible with me or your smart device, or just look on the screen, it is provided. We're going to start in verse 3. He left Judea and departed from Galilee, and he had to pass through Samaria. So he came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, so Jesus, wearied as he was from his journey, was sitting beside the well, and it was about the sixth hour, and a woman from Samaria came to draw water. We're going to stop right there. The sixth hour is really late in the day. Usually when you go to the well to get water, you go early in the morning so the water is nice and cool from the evening before, and it's fresh and all this kind of stuff. Well, you see, the people in the village really didn't like this woman, and she knew it because they weren't shy about it. So to save face, she decided, I'll just go to the well when there's not a lot of people there. And so she begins to walk up to the well, and there's a stranger there, I come to the well every day at the same time. It's always empty, and now there's a person here. It was probably a little bit of an inconvenience to her that this man was there. But how often do we go to the supermarket? We go to the gas station. We go to work. We come to church, and we pass by people loaded down with guilt. You see, this woman had made some choices, and when she came to the well, she came with shame on her mind. We see these people, and they're trying to pursue life's necessities. Getting water from the well for drinking and cooking, that was a necessity. Going to work, we all have jobs, right? Most of us. You guys are young. It's okay. School's a necessity. Work's a necessity. Putting gas in your car at the gas station, necessity. Supermarket, groceries, right? So you can eat, necessity. Church is not a hobby. Church isn't something you just do once a month. Church is also a necessity. But we go to these places that we need to go, not have to go, right? You need to put gas in your car. You need to go to church. You need to go to school. You need to go to work. Right? You need to go to the supermarket, these necessities, and we see these people and we just pass them. These people that we interact with, your cashier at the supermarket, your waiter or waitress at lunch today that are just having to go to work. We see these people and we find that they are just pursuing life's necessities, hoping to avoid anyone who knows their real needs. Dreading judgment and rejection, they live in fear. This woman was tired of being judged by other people in the village. So she decided to isolate herself and make sure she went when there was no one there. But yet, as we see in this story, Jesus, when shown real concern, when gently confronted, these same people find great relief in unburdening themselves. Coming to church, going to community group, building those relationships and sharing what's going on in their life, and finally knowing that there's someone that cares, someone that will listen. They know that they're coming to a church surrounded by prayer warriors and that someone's going to pray with them when they have a need. Instead of saying, I'll pray for you, and then do you really pray for them or is it just good intentions? I'll pray for you, and then you get busy and you forget. What about on Facebook when you're like, praying for you? And then you get really busy scrolling through the rest of Facebook or whatever you're doing. When you type that word, that phrase, praying for you, are you stopping and praying right then? Or is it just words? You see, Jesus right here kept it real simple, right? We learned that from our senior saints, seasoned citizens or whatever, seasoned saints. That's what you call them, seasoned saints. We learned that up here, right? Keep it simple. You see, simple caring is a gift valued infinitely more than it costs to give. We just came out of meet and greet. When you do meet and greet, do you say, how are you, how are you, how are you, just because it's nice? Do you say, how are you, because it's robotic response, it's what you do? Or do you say, how are you, and then stop long enough to actually listen? To show that person you actually care. If you don't, say something else. There's plenty of ways to greet people. But if you say, how are you? Stop and listen. Simply care. Simple caring is a gift valued infinitely more than it cost to give. Jumping back in to the woman from Samaria came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, give me a drink. The Samaritan woman said to him, how is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? Jesus answered to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. The woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw water with. And the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us this well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and livestock. Jesus said to her, everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. Isn't that the worst? When you are just parched and you're like, man, this bottle of water is going to fix it. And you drink that whole like 20 ounces, 16 ounces, depending on the size of the bottle. And then you're still thirsty. It's the worst. They will be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty or, here you go, to save face again, or have to come here to draw water. She was so tired of what people were saying about her, the judging, that she just didn't want to draw water anymore. In verse 9, it says, how is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? The woman here seems a bit surprised and shocked, and even at the fact that Jesus would speak to her. And that makes sense. You see, Samaritans and Jews did not get along. In fact, Jews looked down on Samaritans and did everything they could to ignore them. They were pretty prejudiced against each other. But the woman, and talking to Jesus, hearing his care, his concern, his tone, soon realized that this man wasn't an ordinary man. He wasn't like most Jews. Jesus was offering her something that she had longed for all her life. She had an emptiness, a thirst, a hunger, a hole. She had never been able to satisfy with human love or things of this world. What she needed was God's love. You see, God created all of us to have a relationship with him. That was his original purpose in the garden. I loved it. We learned about the garden earlier. I mean, they preached. That was so good earlier. Thank you again for being a part of that panel. But then sin came in and wrecked God's plan. And sin, what? It separates us from God. But God left that hole inside to create a longing in us, hoping all of us would find and turn to our Creator, Jesus. Jesus is the only thing that can satisfy our hunger. Not donuts, not human love like this woman thinks, and we're going to jump into that in just a second. Jesus is the only thing that can satisfy our hunger. Verse 16, Jesus said to her, go call your husband and come here. The woman answered him, I have no husband. And Jesus said, you right, I know. Just kidding. He did it in concern and care and love. But I love it when he like calls out his disciples or he asks a question to the Pharisees, but he already knows the answer or with, you know, like right here with this woman. But watch, he did it actually really nice. You said, he goes, you are right in saying that you have no husband. For in fact, you've had 5 husbands. Whoa. And the one you are now with is not your husband. Meaning the guy you're living with, sharing a house with, is not your husband. And the woman said, whoa, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Yes. The prophet of prophets, in fact. Our fathers worshiped on this mountain, but you say in Jerusalem is the place where God, people ought to worship. And Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know, and we worship what we do know, that salvation is from the Jews, Jesus. But the hour is coming, and now here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Wow, what a statement. What a couple of sentences. Right there, just these few verses will preach. That's a whole message right there. And we're going to get back into the donut hole and the longing, but it's really important that we touch on this real quick. Because it was important enough for Jesus to talk about, so it's important enough for us to talk about. It was important enough for Jesus to bring up at the well, so it is important enough for us to take the time to look at, ponder, dive deep. Worship, we did it earlier. Worship is such a powerful thing. Worship is such an incredible thing. But here's the crazy thing. Just last Sunday in Kids Church, we talked about worship. We talked about how David, King David, got undignified, which means he got crazy, right? He danced for the Lord in the streets. He didn't care about being embarrassed. He just worshiped because he loved God. That's what worship is. Worship is our way to show or to express our love and gratitude to God. God, thank you for all that you've done. God, thank you for all that you are going to do. God, I love you. God, thank you that you're in control even when I am not. God, thank you that you see the big picture even when I don't. You see, worship communicates so much. It's so much more than just Sundays here, but it's every day and everywhere. It's more than just raising your hands and singing songs or only singing the songs that you like, because it's not about us, it's about him. Showing that love and that gratitude. But it's also so much more. We talked about a little bit earlier that when you go through life's necessities, the supermarket, the gas station, church, work, school, how are you treating people? Because you see, worship is also in your actions and your attitudes. It's also in your lifestyle. It's not just Sundays here, but every day and everywhere. Okay, Pastor Preston, that's really good. But what did it mean when he said in spirit and in truth? Oh, I'm glad you asked. We're going to jump into that real quick. So when he says in spirit and in truth, when you're not worshiping in spirit, your worship is dry and lifeless. Worship not done in truth becomes deceitful and irrelevant. Because in spirit reminds us who we are worshiping. And in truth, reminds us and helps us show that genuineness of who we need in worship. To paraphrase Jesus, it's real simple. Remember, we're keeping it simple this morning. True worshipers worship truthfully. True worshipers worship truthfully. The opposite of that, or the by contrast, would be false worship, right? False worship would be pretending to be someone or something that we are not, displaying prejudice. We talked about that. Samaritans and Jews did that to each other. Displaying prejudice towards others who are also made in God's image. Displaying prejudice to others who God loves. Or practicing self-righteousness by denying our need for his grace, his mercy, his love, and strength in our life. Worship is such an important thing, but it's also so powerful. True worshipers worship truthfully. Verse 24, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit. The woman said to him, I know that the Messiah is coming. When he comes, he will tell us all things. And Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. Come on, that's good. That's good. He started with concern and care. He kept it simple. He simply cared because he saw that this woman was hurting. He saw that this woman had this longing, this hole, this hunger inside of her. And because he simply cared, he was able to change her life and change her heart. You see, later on, it says that she got up and ran into the village to tell everybody. And then all these people came out to see Jesus, and Jesus also spoke to them, and their lives were changed. And then it was just a domino effect from there. When we simply care, it makes such a big difference. Now, we just got a little, like, real, right? We got a little intense, got a little deep worship in spirit and truth. I'm going to talk to everybody, but I'm really going to talk to the kids for just a split second. All right, so kids, right here, look at Pastor Preston. Did you know you can make donuts at home? Oh, yeah, teenagers, adults, you can take this too. I'm going to give you the recipe right here. So if you go to Walmart, right, and you get Pillsbury biscuits, you can make donuts at home. So here's the cool thing. So you open them up, and when you open them up, you're going to be like, Pastor Preston, those don't look like donuts. You're right. You got to make them look like donuts. So you're going to need your mom and your dad's help. And what you're going to do is you're going to open up this can and you're going to pull the biscuits apart. And then you're going to cut out a hole in the center using the top of a soda bottle or a water bottle or possibly a knife. That's where you need your parents' help. And then it now looks like a donut. And you also have the insides. Don't throw those away. Those are donut holes for later, right? Because I know some teenagers who prefer donut holes over donuts. So keep those donut holes. Then you're going to want to put some oil in a fryer or a pan that's able to do that. Also, parents help. Parents help. And then you're going to fry them and they're going to turn like a kind of a golden color, like a glazed donut. That means they're ready. So pull them out. Okay, it looks like this. Pull them out and then throw some frosting on those bad boys. Cover them in powdered sugar. Grab a glass of orange juice, whatever. Pastor Preston had 3 glasses of orange juice last night, and it was the best. But when you're making these donuts at home or whatever, or you're looking at them, or the next time you see a picture of a donut, let it remind you of that's how God made us, with a hole inside. And kids, it's not a physical hole that we can see, right? But it's a spiritual hole. It's something inside of our heart that says, I need more. I need something. The only thing that can fill that gap is Jesus. God wants us to invite Jesus into our lives, and Jesus will forgive our sins. Remember earlier when we jumped back into the garden, sin separates us from God. Well, when Jesus forgives those sins, we're no longer separated from God. And Jesus will give us a new life. He's the one that brings that purpose to our life. He's the one that when we have that relationship with him, then God's will and God's plan for our life starts to unravel, starts to be seen. So next time you have donuts, whether they are homemade, store-bought, they're at church, in the car, at home, wherever. Think of what we've talked about this morning. Share the story of Hans and Gregory and how he told his mom, Mom, these are too doughy. You got to fix these. We got to cut the center out. Share that story and then let that be like an on-ramp. Like let that be a start to share with your family and your friends about that hole that God has placed in us. And that hole can only be filled by Jesus. We're going to get back to being real for a second. Here's the sad thing. And I want, church, hear my heart on this. Because of our pride and our stubbornness, our distractions, we have tried to fill this hole inside of us, this longing, this hunger with anything and everything except the Lord. Just look at the media that we watch today, the commercials, the ads that pop up. They are targeted at our hunger. They are targeted at this longing and this belonging, right? You gotta have this new toy, then you'll be happy. You've gotta have these kicks, then you'll be happy. You gotta get this necklace. You gotta have this car, not that car. You've gotta have the newest smartphone, then you will be happy. Then you'll be popular, then you'll be friends. And if you have friends, if you're popular, then you'll be happy. But when we look at these celebrities that we look up to, these musicians and bands, that have all these cars and fancy things, these nice houses, all this money, and we're like, man, they've got it together. What happens when the cameras are off? Or nowadays when the cameras are still on, because, you know, our privacy is like, whoosh, whoosh, right? But we see so-and-so is now getting a divorce because they're unhappy. This band is breaking up because they can't get along and they're unhappy. This solo musician is like, music, and they're done. Because they're unhappy, because this hunger, this there's got to be more than life, is not money, it's not possessions, it's not relationships, it's the Lord. His will for our life, his plan, his purpose. There's nothing wrong with having these relationships. There's nothing wrong with having friends and being popular. That's not a bad thing. But when it's how many likes can I get on Instagram, or how many people are watching my story, how many friends I have on Facebook is your sole reason for waking up in the morning, or for even just taking this picture or posting this picture of your friends, that's where it comes an issue. When it's how many girlfriends can I have, or how many guys can I talk to, or, you know, what if I just kind of like talk to this person on the side, is that okay? Right, we saw that with this woman. She had five husbands, never happy, and then had a boyfriend, still not happy. She was trying to fill this longing with human love. Relationships are great. I'm very passionate about my wife and my relationship, but I'm also passionate about my relationship with my Heavenly Father. I'm also passionate about my relationship and friendship with Jesus, my Lord and Savior. You see, if you're counting on things of this world, that money, that popularity, the newest iPhone, these things, the emptiness inside will never be filled. You will always come up hungry. You will always come up hungry. We're keeping it simple this morning. And here's the simple truth. Jesus is the bread of life. He is the living water. And we need to make him the center again. We need to ask him to refill that hole. He needs to be the center of our lives, the center of it all, the center of our church. We prayed for our nation. Man, imagine what would happen if Jesus was once again the center of our nation. Jesus is the bread of life. He is the living water. If we have Jesus and live each day for him, we will have all we need to fill the emptiness inside. Only Jesus can forgive our sins. Only Jesus can give us that new life. And I'm going to close with this. Only Jesus can give us something that is truly eternal. That hole, that longing, that hunger inside of us that says, there's got to be something more to life. I'm here this morning to tell you that there is something more. Jesus, a life with him. A life with him at the center of it all. Jesus, the Son of the living God, who died on the cross so that you could have a relationship with him, so that you could go to heaven and live forever. That's that eternal life. So we could live in heaven one day forever. I'm going to ask everyone to stand with me this morning, and we're going to move into a time of worship and response. And maybe you're here this morning and you realize, yeah, I have a hole inside of me. I have this hunger, this longing, and I have been filling it with the wrong things. I don't think I've ever asked Jesus to live inside my heart before. I don't think I've ever said, Jesus, come be the center of my life. We're going to give you that opportunity this morning, but we're also going to give the opportunity for you to put Jesus back. Maybe you say, I've had Jesus in my heart before, and now he's kind of in this little box in the corner, and he's really not the center because of time and distraction and other things. I can't remember the last time I've opened my Bible outside of a Sunday morning. I can't remember the last time I talked to God just to talk to him and not because I needed something. I need to make Jesus the center again. We're also going to give you that opportunity this morning. Because when Jesus is truly the center of it all, Jesus is truly the center of your life, incredible things can happen. So to get our hearts and minds in the right place before we pray, I've asked Miss Hannah to lead us in the song that's been going with my message all morning, Jesus at the Center of It All. We're going to spend some time in worship getting our hearts right, and then I will bring us back to close with a prayer. Church, will you worship with me this morning? Remember, it's our time to express that love and gratitude we have for our Heavenly Father.